Hey!
This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Great news. We made it. It's a Friday. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, Jeremiah Jensen. And sitting in once again for Alex Carey is the great Sam Farnsworth, KSL Sports.
The seat's getting comfortable, Alex.
Uh-oh.
He's not listening.
He better not be.
I like to send vague threats that, the seat's getting comfortable. I kind of like this spot, Alex. But he doesn't care. He knows it.
I think we need to have like some kind of anchor war thing. You can fight him for, he can fight you for the chair back. But then we got to throw Sly and Mitch Harper in there too.
Yeah,
they're filling
right.
in
those,
the next couple weeks
those,
too.
Those
so
guys are good.
I don't think you want to fight Sly.
No,
so
no.
You might need to stop
I'll
running.
I'll take a step back.
You stop running your mouth.
I'll do it in private. I'll do it in text messaging.
Alex behind the board here. Look at this guy.
I can always flex a lot more behind a text message, you know?
Sam's getting pretty mouthy on his third day here.
He's comfortable
in.
At this
Jeez.
Point.
Chill out, man.
All right, fine.
Let's get to business. What is the business? Well, there's a lot going on today. It's Final Four weekend, Sam.
I love it.
Before we dig into our first cut, I want to do quickly, because we don't have time to do this rest show. We're that packed. We got so much going on. We got great college football talk.
Mm-hmm.
We got the latest on Utah spring football. We're going to do BYU football. Matt Biamonte is going to come on and give us the latest on that. We're going to recap and relive spring football, get his thoughts on that all over the map. Plus, are the Arizona Coyotes moving to Utah?
Mm-hmm.
We have the very latest on that from those on the ground that follow the team closely and have inside sources in Arizona at our sister station at Arizona Sports down in Phoenix. So there's a lot going on today we're going to get to, but this is the first and only chance we have to give our Final Four predictions. We'll do it quickly. We got men's and women's because, honestly, I think the women's tournament's more interesting than men's at this point. Am I right?
I agree.
Am I right?
It has been must-see television. It has been entertainment at its best for basketball.
Star power,
no
intriguing
kidding.
Matchups.
It has not disappointed
coaches.
One bit.
It's just awesome. And it gets better tonight. Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers. I'm excited to see that matchup, and can South Carolina continue their dominance? NC State sneaking into the Final Four. No one's talking about them, but they've had a great run. So start with the women real quick. Who do you have winning both games, and who wins the championship?
Okay, South Carolina, I'm going to stick with them as the undefeated number one team in the country to get back to the championship game, and Iowa. I've got Iowa beating okay. UConn. I mean, I'm right there with you. I love the Caitlin Clark-Paige Beckers matchup. Will we see maybe a passing of the torch here if UConn wins, right?
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. Who knows? But I still like what Caitlin's done all tournament long and all season long for that matter. I think she fuels Iowa there. And Iowa, South Carolina, my goodness, it's so hard to beat that South Carolina team. But if anyone can do it, maybe Caitlin Clark.
You got Iowa winning it all.
No, I can't. South Carolina.
Okay.
South Carolina's going to go undefeated.
Okay. I just think... So I've got Iowa, South Carolina in the final championship game. South Carolina looks unbeatable, 36-0. They'll be 37-0 at that point. But they got beat last year, too.
You're right.
And Caitlin Clark has been unbelievable. We've never seen a player in women's college basketball capture the mainstream. People lined out of their arena trying to get tickets to get in. It's been something we haven't seen before. I'm going to go Iowa just for fun.
Yeah.
And I think that she's just got enough, and she's that kind of a generational player. Like Kim Mulkey said after they beat LSU, she just said they had the better player. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think Iowa wins the national championship. Men, real quick. NC State versus Purdue. Alabama, UConn. Who you got?
I absolutely love the run that NC State's been on. It's been a lot of fun to watch. DJ Burns has been just one of the faces of this entire tournament. But Purdue, man, I'll tell you what. I stood next to Zach Edey, and I'm like, this guy's not a – this isn't a man. He's not even a giant. This guy is, like, just huge. And I don't think there's an answer for him in college basketball right now.
Yeah.
So I got Purdue beating NC State – UConn has been the best college basketball team for most of this season. They've been a great tournament team. The margin of victory, average margin of victory, it's not been that close for the most part. So obviously I'm going to go Purdue-UConn, and I'm still going to go with UConn to win it all here.
I think Purdue and UConn are going to blow these teams out. I'm sorry. This is where you really separate the best teams from those that had nice runs. Alabama, NC State, great runs, but sorry, guys, it's over. Purdue and UConn will cruise in the semifinal, but that means we're going to have an epic championship game.
I hope so.
I still think UConn's going to prevail. They just look unbeatable, and they've got the center to match Zach Edey and Purdue. It's the one team that has a big that can go toe-to-toe with them and cause problems, and UConn's just got so many guys that can score. I like UConn to win the national championship. They'd be the first defending champion, I think, since Florida.
It's been, yeah, Florida's last back-to-back.
That'd be pretty impressive. So
it's been a while.
There are our final four predictions. We'll have more on the final four coming up later in the show. We have a guest, national guest, that will come in and talk to us about that. In fact, Connor Hope of Heat Check College Basketball will join us to break down the final four. But right now, we're going to break down the Utah Jazz. They got a game tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's get to the latest on the Jazz. The Jazz make the cut at 3 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Kyra Lewis flares it up top to Shamanich. He dribbles low to the basket, rises with the right hand and rim rocked it. Wow. Lucas Shamanich showing some skills.
Lucas Shamanich going up and throwing one down, and you're going to have more guys that haven't had a lot of action this year get more action tonight because the Jazz taking on the Clippers tonight, 8:30 p.m. tip-off. You can hear the pregame show as well as the game right here on the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacombe, will take you up to tip-off starting at 7:30. John Collins, Jordan Clarkson, Lowry Markkanen remain out, and unfortunately Walker Kessler added to that list. I doubt we'll see Walker Kessler for the rest of the season with six games left. Nasal fractures, got a broken nose that was suffered in the game against Cleveland. He'll be out of Friday's game, and he'll be monitored. We'll see what happens on Sunday. I know Walker's a competitor. He'll want to try to be out there, but at this point, what's he's got a broken nose. Right. Let him heal up. Let him have an offseason to fix that. And, you know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, they can turn to Omer Yurtseven. They got guys on the roster that can fill in for him, and it doesn't really matter at this point. It's all about these rookies getting play.
Yep.
No Kawhi Leonard, Sam, tonight, so you're not going to get to see him. Josh Primo also out for what it's worth. I don't think you need to worry about Josh Primo, but Kawhi Leonard out is certainly an issue. But the Clippers obviously have enough firepower, and they're playing for a lot right now. It's hard to believe the Jazz could go on the road tonight and get a win. So once again, we'll continue to monitor what these rookies can do, what these young players can do. The series, by the way, tied at 1 this season. The Jazz actually beat the Clippers back in October, 121-18.
We're at that point in the season now, though, where you talk about, you know, Kawhi's out. You know, that's one thing to look at for the Clippers. But we're at that point in the season now where the highlight that we're listening to has the names of Kyra Lewis and Luka Shamanich in it. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and hey, David Locke's still outstanding. You're like, listening to him call, you could plug it, you know, replace those names with two superstars and it still sounds great, right? But Kyra Lewis, Luka Shamanich, that's the point of the season that we're in with the Utah Jazz right now. And we've been there for a little bit. We're going to be there for the rest of the way. It is what it is. I don't even know if some of these guys are on the roster anymore next year, you know.
Right, that's fair. And, well, the massive change could happen.
But
it should happen.
But I'm with you. This is the time for those rookies and for them to keep doing, hopefully, what they've done the last couple of games.
So the Jazz have lost 10 straight games. That's the longest losing streak in franchise since 1982.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 42 years since they've lost 10 or more games in a row. And how about this? They have not won an away game since January 27th at the Hornets.
Yeah, it's 11 straight road games.
Dang.
Been a little bit.
Yeah, it's just hard. We've talked about this, and we'll continue to talk about it. Just this franchise is in a transition to trying to build a championship roster. And this is what it's like. It's painful. 10-game losing streaks. I don't care if you understand the situation. It's still no fun. You want your favorite team to win. So if you're a fan, you're watching the Jazz, and you watch them lose night in and night out, it's kind of like, what are we doing here? Six games left in the season. So they'll grind through those six games, and then we get into the fun. Because I think what's fun and what we can talk about right now is what to look at, what to get excited about, what to look for.
Look ahead, yeah.
We'll start with the draft pick. So they're angling to keep that draft pick because they're trying to – a lot of this losing is there's a reason. They want to be in the bottom eight of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the draft pick is top 10 protected, but finishing 10th – 10th worst record in the league does not guarantee that. Remember, there's a lottery.
Right.
And you can get jumped in that lottery, even at 10.
It only takes one team to
slide you
down
the spot.
So
suddenly you think you got a top 10 pick, and all of a sudden you're 11, you're like, oh, no. And that pick goes to the Thunder. So they're not only losing, they're making sure they get that pick. Right now they sit at 8th, and that should do it. 9th could give you a little bit of nervousness if two teams jump. That's crazy. The odds are pretty slim, but it's still mathematically possible. You get to 8th. And you can breathe very easily that you're going to hold on to that pick. Wouldn't it be something, Sam? Maybe it'd be kind of frustrating. And maybe, what if the Jazz won the lottery?
That would be frustrating.
We're a month away from finding out.
It's like, that's what you, every time the Jazz have ever been in the lottery, it's like, okay, you know the odds aren't great, but you kind of keep your fingers crossed. Especially like a year like last year, you're like, come on, I know the odds are slim, but could you imagine if they get to that number 9 pick and the Jazz name isn't there. That means they won the lottery.
Yeah.
What if it happens this year? That would be amazing. I think you'd be filled with some sort of euphoria and excitement, like, oh my goodness, we're in the top four. But then you start looking at the prospects and you're like, top four? Like, what, you know, there's the other French guy, Sarr, I think's his name. You know, maybe that's a guy, another tall center, if he's cut from the same mold that a Victor Wembanyama is, you know, who knows? I mean, what are we looking at? I've seen some of these mock drafts out there, and I'd be honest with you, when I look at some of these names, I'm like, man, I'm going to have to learn a little bit more about some of these guys because I don't know a lot about – it's not like last year where you could rattle off some knowledge or at least what you've seen from Victor and Scoot and Williams, all these guys that came in, you know. It just feels like we're in that situation where, okay, yeah, get a top four pick, but how different would a top four pick be from 8th or 9th? I don't know if it's that different this year.
Not, it isn't. I think this year's draft is a crapshoot. We've heard it called the worst draft maybe of all time. It sounds hyperbolic, but that's what a lot of people have said. So, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and break down all these prospects. I'm not going to tell you. I don't know who these guys are. I don't know where the Jazz are drafting. There's a few of them we're familiar with. Jacoby Walter, Baylor.
Yeah.
BYU fans, very familiar with Jacoby Walter. They played against him this year. He's a player you could get in that 7 to 8 range.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of player we're talking about. A 19-year-old shooting guard out of Baylor. Cody Williams, a small forward out of Colorado. Utah, you running U fans know mm-hmm. who Cody Williams is, right? But there's a lot of players like Matas Bazelis out of the G League Ignite. But all these guys are 18, 19. Let me read off the ages of the top guys in the mock draft that ESPN has. Zachary Rezacker out of France, 18 years old. Alex Sarr, playing for the Perth Wildcats. He's also, I believe, out of France.
Mm-hmm.
18 years old, power forward center. Rob Dillingham out of Kentucky. If you're a big college football fan, you are familiar with Rob Dillingham, but he's 19 years old. He's a point guard. He's a small guy, not a big dude. Matas Bazelis, small forward, 19. Cody Williams, 19. Nikola Topic, 18. Jacoby Walter, 19. Tijani Saloon. 18. Finally, I get to a 20-year-old mm-hmm. at 9. Kyle Filipowski of Duke, 20 years old. And I'm not sure that's a prospect that gets Jazz fans too fired up and excited.
You know my instant takeaway, as you've read all those names off and all those ages, 18, 19, 18, 19, 19, is that, you know, even though college athletes are sticking around for longer, the college superstars are sticking around for 3 and 4 years, they're getting into their 20s, and they're still great athletes as they're entering the draft, the NBA still values youth big time. They value youth and their ability to develop that youth. They trust themselves in developing these guys to become better players than maybe someone who's got 4 great years of, you know, a couple years of All-American basketball at college level. And so, yeah, youth still reigns supreme when it comes to the NBA draft.
All about those ceilings, right? How high are these guys' ceilings? There's a lot of guys, and then some of the better-known college guys are in the teens. You know, like Zach Edey, they've got here mm-hmm. going. Reed Shepard of Kentucky, again, 19 years old, going to the Bulls. Donovan Klingon of UConn, he's 19, a center. Isaiah Collier out of USC. Zach Edey's 21. That's the first player you get that's actually 21 or over. Stephon Castle of UConn, 19. Kevin McCullough Jr. of Kansas, 22. I think he's the oldest player other than Dalton Connect is just slightly by a month younger than Kevin McCullough. Those are the oldest players that are in this mock draft in the first round. 22, right? Is that what I said? 22 is the oldest player in the first round of the NBA draft.
Not shocking. I mean, look at what the Jazz have been starting, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of 20-year-olds.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that's where we're at.
When you've got starting point guards at Utah State that are 24, 25 years old.
But a 21-year-old next year that has a full year of NBA experience compared to maybe an All-American that's 21 or 22 at a college basketball, you're probably going to lean towards the guy who's played a year in the NBA that you've developed for a year.
You can't. The NBA experience.
Right.
You can't simulate it, even college football or college basketball. So my point is, as we look through all this, you're taking a pick in the first round, and they have another pick later in the second, in the first round.
Right.
So they have two picks.
28th-ish.
And then they got a really early second round pick that's going to be coming their way. That's actually the first.
About 32?
Based on 31? Right now, it would be via the Wizards, number 31.
Okay.
Will be the Jazz second round pick. And then they're going to get the best. It's going to be 26 as of right now.
The Jazz Minnesota?
Would, the Jazz would pick. It's actually via the Thunder somehow, some way. There's those, conveyance the with that pick that they got. So they would have the, let's say right now they're sitting at 8th if they don't win the lottery. 8, 26, and 31. This up because, yeah, you got three more picks. You're going to be adding three more rookies out of a not great draft. Those aren't going to be difference makers, or at least the history doesn't tell you that those are going to be difference makers next season. So you're looking at a long rebuild here, and the picks are so young. You need to speed this up.
Yeah.
But then again, there's other trick. You don't control speeding it up because that requires trades.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy's just not out there.
It's not available yet. No. Nope.
It just isn't. Maybe that materializes in the summer. I don't know.
And that could be a part of the process of identifying and selecting good young talent, because you can turn them around combined with picks for a trade. That's similar to, you know, how the Jazz got Walker, right? And Ochai Agbaji when they got him. Those guys were guys that were picked by another team, and then they became part of a trade. So whenever that player becomes available that the Jazz want to target in a trade, they want to identify talent not only for themselves but as a potential trade piece as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to what they're doing this offseason.
So between the draft and whatever else could happen, it's going to be intriguing. It's going to be interesting, but it's not going to be a magic wand. There's still a lot of work to do and a lot of patience that's going to be required as the Utah Jazz continue this real rebuild in what they believe will result in a championship down the road. But it looks way down the road at this point. Speaking of down the road, let's travel down the road just a few miles down 300 West in Salt Lake City. Tom Curl, our good friend at the warehouse, standing by. Tom, how you doing?
Jeremiah, my brother, what's up?
I'm just hanging out here doing some sports talk radio. I wish I was there with you in person, but here we are talking on the phone, so it's good to hear your voice.
Well, I'm calling from Arizona.
Yes. Do you have an update on your what's going on?
I'm doing great.
That's awesome.
All is well so far. Let me tell you that we're going to do some crazy things. It's the end of March Madness, four more days. So we're going to do 4 days of We've Gone Mad sale.
Ooh.
And it will be and have you gotten your bed delivered yet? I don't think we have.
Tell your guys, you have my number. So we're doing this over the radio right now. So I'm actually buying a bed. I'm buying a bed from the warehouse. I'm ready to go. I want the queen. I want a Euro top, and I'm gonna get the I'm ready to go, Tom. So do you have my number?
Yes, we
I gave
do.
It to
I'll
you.
Have them give
have
you
your
call.
Guys call me right after 6 o'clock.
Perfect.
Let's get it done.
We're gonna do in honor of JJ the JJ IntelliBed special.
Ooh. I got a name attached to a deal. I like this.
It is, and you will not get these prices. This is a G2 or a Midnight IntelliBed. The mattresses are regular $3,700 and $5,300 mattress only. The bases, we're going to give you Liggett and Platt bases. Head up, foot up, they're regular $2,400. That's a $7,700 deal. And I'm going to do the whole package for you for $1,499. And that's incredible. Once in a lifetime, we've gone mad price.
That is a March Madness deal. That is nuts. What else you got? I mean, that's a good one. Do you have a, you got another boom?
If you want to do mats only, I can do mats only in the IntelliBed for $9.99. And then let's talk about Vidal's special. Vidal loves Kingsdown. I'm going to do a queen Kingsdown. Three different, there's like six models to choose from. I'm going to break it into three tiers. I've got a $3.99, a $2.99, and a $5.99. These are mattresses regular up to $3,300. And if you want a king, I'm going to do three tiers on that one. $3.99, $5.99, $79. Values up to $5,900. And that's only four more days. We're going to run this through Monday night. And after that, the madness is over.
Boom. Crazy deal. You got to get that now. If you're getting a bed, like I said, I'm getting one. I got mine lined up. I'm ready to go. Now is the time. Do it now. You won't regret it. I went and tested one out the other day, Tom. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to sleep on it.
Awesome.
We'll do this again in about 30. Some more boom deals. So thanks, Tom.
Talk to you then. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Get down to the warehouse. Do it now. Do it tomorrow. Like you said, you got about 4 days to get that special deal. So, and tell them you heard it right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Tell them Jeremiah sent you down there to get that deal. All right, we got to take a short break. When we come back, Matt Biamonte from Cougar Sports Saturday will join us to talk about BYU spring football, some changes in the BYU basketball coaching staff today as well, and what to look forward to for both Cougar teams, both the football team and the men's basketball team as they try to take the next step in winning an NCAA tournament game. We'll be right back after this. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex rolls on. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth in today for Alex Curie. Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you could win tickets to Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union on August 3rd, 2024. I believe that's the new place where they, that's the new sponsor for the, yeah. I'll fix that later. We're getting used to that.
I can't sponsor any more things, Jeremiah.
You're out of your budget shot.
When my wife finds out what I did with our kids' youth sports budget, then, you know, by sponsoring
youth sports budget. Can we do a segment on that?
They'll have to do a little work. Mow some lawns this summer. I don't know.
Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. Sorry about my. That's where it is. That'll be fun. All right. I'm sure that our next guest will be there. Big Sam Hunt fan? I don't even know who Sam Hunt is.
Let's look it up. I don't either. Am I aging myself? Are we?
Let's welcome in co-host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. Each Saturday, he's Matt Biamonte. Matt, how are you?
Doing fantastic. I am not a Sam Hunt guy. You're much more likely to find me at EDC down in Vegas than you would be at a country concert.
Yeah, country's not my vibe either, even though I'm from Wyoming. I don't know how that didn't rub off on me, but not my thing. Not my thing. So we'll let other people go to Sam Hunt. So I'd rather go watch BYU do anything. How about that?
Hey, I like that.
There you go. Nice segue into the BYU segment here. Spring football's over, Matt. Just want to get your – this is our first chance. My chance – maybe you were on last week and wrap things up, but I guess everything kind of wrapped up Saturday, but I want to get your thoughts, your just overall takeaways from BYU football, spring football, as it wrapped up last weekend.
I think I have three main takeaways. Number one, and this has got to be everyone's biggest storyline that they're following, what's the latest on the quarterback battle? Nobody's been named a starter. It's still a two-man race between Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff. And Aaron Roderick, in his final availability before summer workouts, said that they will not pursue a transfer portal quarterback in the next cycle. So he's happy with Jake and with Gary. He revealed that through all of their statistical tracking throughout spring football, Jake had not thrown an interception. From my observation, it does look like Jake is ahead of Gary. Gary's had some nice moments, but I think Jake still has the leg up with how much more time he spent in that system. So I'd be shocked at this point if Jake is not the day one starter, but they're still going to let that play out into the summer and in the fall. My second takeaway is that the defense does look better. I don't know, and I think we've talked about this before, I don't know if it's going to result in more wins per se because the schedule is so much harder, but there's no doubt in my mind that this will not be a bottom of the FBS level defense. Their linebacking group is extremely deep. Their safety group is very deep as well. They've got a lot of returners from last year as safeties, and they got some freshmen as well that were making plays. So they've got a lot of options at those positions. Defensive line is an area where I think they'll be better. Guys like Zay Bagna, Tyler Batty, John Nelson have gotten rave reviews from Jay Hill. They probably still need to go out and get some depth in the transfer portal. And that's kind of my third takeaway as well, is that depth is needed in the trenches. And Aaron Roderick noted that as well. They'd like to add some bodies in the transfer portal. I think Jay Hill would like to do that as well. So, look, health, this isn't, you know, breaking news or anything crazy here, but BYU's, I think, top 22, maybe even two deep, I think is really good and can compete in the Big 12. They've just been unable to stay healthy. Like last year, thinking about some of the guys that missed a lot of chunks. John Nelson, a guy I just named, missed the last couple of games, and that was a big loss on the defensive line. Ben Bywater, to name a few. So staying healthy will be critical for this team if they want to make noise in the Big 12. But look, a lot of these questions that we have, guys, quarterback battle, depth at certain positions, we're not going to be able to answer till games are played. Because that's just the nature of this program, that they'll keep battles open all the way until that first kickoff.
Yeah, coaches love to do that, right? Matt, you mentioned the quarterback battle. We love to talk about quarterbacks. I'm going to ask you one more question about it. Probably several more between now and then, but let me ask you one now. How does this offense look different with Jake under center compared to Gary under center? What do they bring to this team? Or maybe they look the same, but how is this offense better with Jake, and how is it better with Gary?
I think this offense is better with Jake when it's a little more spread out football. There's RPO. That's kind of what we saw the offense change to last year. There was heavy RPO. He's pulling it. He's slinging it. It's up tempo. I think that's where they're better with Jake. I think where maybe Gary has a slight advantage is look, Aaron Roderick talked a lot this spring about the most important thing is establishing the run game. It's an 11-man run game, and that's great. They need to have a good run game. There's no doubt about it. I would differ slightly, and I'm not there every day. I'm not the coach. So who am I to say what's right or wrong for this team? Just looking at the personnel, it feels like their wide receiver group is the strongest, and that lends me to believe Jake would be the starting quarterback because you could run three and four wide receiver sets. You plug Keanu Hill in there as a flex tight end. You run up tempo. You can still have the RPO with that, but more emphasis on the pass game and the run supplements that. That's Jake's strength. I think where Gary could fit in is if they want to go power run, I don't know if they do, but if they want to really lean on the run game and have a play action element, that's maybe something that would suit Gary Bohannon a little bit more. And Gary can run. He's got legs. He's got ability. He can run an RPO game. I just wonder if, with his experience, if you slowed the game down and it was total run first, pass off the play action, maybe that fits Bohannon's style a little bit better. I personally prefer that they go with the Retzlaff style, up-tempo, get as many playmakers on the field, throw the football. And I might be a victim of just what BYU's been for decades. I prefer that style. I love the 80s and 90s and early 2000s style where it's a lot of points, it's a lot of yards, it's a lot of throws. I think that is what Jake does best. And we'll see how these guys are able to use their strengths in the fall.
I think BYU has a higher ceiling next year with Gary Bohannon as a starting quarterback than Jake. With the experience, his proven playmaking ability, and he turns the ball over less. I feel like the BYU coaches feel the same. I think they want Gary to win the job. That doesn't mean he's going to. As you mentioned, he's got to close that gap with knowing the plays and understanding the playbook and what they want to do and how they run that offense. I feel like they want Gary to win the job. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. I might have agreed earlier in camp, but I just, after everything you hear from Aaron Roderick, and it could very well be coach speak, you know, to some degree, we all have to take what these guys say as somewhat truth. But the fact that they spoke so highly of Jake Retzlaff in terms of running the offense, not throwing interceptions, doing the right things, to me, that felt a little bit like some breadcrumbs that, hey, Jake is ahead of Gary. And I think they want Jake to win the job because they put more time into Jake. They spent half of last season working with Jake. And what's best for the program, guys, quite frankly, is that Jake wins the job. He wins 6 bowl games. He's got another year of eligibility. So then you could roll that into next season. If Gary wins the job, then that means you're throwing in the towel on Jake. All that time is down the toilet. And then next year, what do you do? Because it's going to be Jake and Gary 1 and 2. And if Gary wins the job, you probably lose Jake. Then who's the backup? It's this huge domino with NIL and the transfer portal now. Gary has nowhere to go. This is his last year. So if Jake can definitively win the job, I think that's what the coaches want, and that's what's best because Gary can be a backup. He's a high-level backup. And then next year, Jake's the man. You can recruit around him, build your offense around what he does well this year. And then in 2 years from now, you move on to the next guy, whoever that is. So I feel like Jake is who the coaches want just because it makes the most sense this season based off all the time they put in. And then it makes the most sense long term as well because you'd have that continuity going into next year.
Matt, you mentioned depth, how important it is as you're in the Big 12 now that you feel like BYU is about 2 deep at most of their positions, you know, but you go beyond that and maybe there's a bit of a drop off. You mentioned hitting the transfer portal to help solve that. Where do you see BYU targeting which position most here in between now and fall camp in the portal?
The offensive and defensive line, because those are positions that you can grab talent and plug them in. I think the problem with those positions, though, are who is going to hit the portal now that's going to be an impact player. Like last year, BYU brought in Caleb Etienne. He ended up starting a lot of games, but he wasn't that impactful. He wasn't very good. He got benched at points. Now, I will say on Caleb Etienne, guys, he looks a lot better. At times during media observations, he was playing left and right tackle with the ones. If he can deliver on his athletic ability and his promise, that would be huge to have Etienne and Keim as the tackles and they're playing at a high level. That really changes things. But we saw last year how many guys came in between the summer and the fall and how many of them made an impact. There just weren't that many, like Darius Lassiter did. Keelan Marion at moments did. Caleb Etienne, not as impactful as you'd like him to be. So I think they want to grab some depth on the offensive line. But this is what I have understood from the coaches, guys, okay, at the Ennis Sprinkle. The guys that they have now is who's going to play in the fall. There might be one or two exceptions to who they bring in the summer. But the group that they have, this is the group. All their time and energy is placed on developing them. And I'm okay with that. Because I just don't know how many guys you can grab in this portal cycle that would be that impactful. But they do need depth on both the offensive and defensive line.
BYU basketball question real quick. Brody Kozlowski, who's one of the top 3 players in the state of Utah who had signed a letter of intent with USC, is asking to get out of that letter now that the head coach Andy Enfield has moved on. He wants to open up his recruitment. If he does, how good of a chance does BYU have to nab him this time around?
Great chance, just because they were right there at the in the final list. They've got continuity. That's what USC doesn't have. And there could be a team like Utah or maybe some other teams on the West that could make a run at him. But BYU, I think, is still a program on the up. Their tournament success was disappointing, the lack of, but they did get there. And there's a lot of talent coming in. There's a bright future. I think BYU would be right in the mix for him. It just depends on what he wants. If he wants playing time, he's not going to get that as a freshman at BYU. But if he wants to be in a good program that has stability and has a bright future, then I think BYU is a great option for him.
That's Matt Biamonte. You can hear him tomorrow on KSL News Radio with Cougar Sports Saturday with Mitch Harper, 12 to 3. Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend, you guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. Coming up next, Would You Rather? You're listening to JJ and Alex, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Listen, everybody.
Real life hypotheticals to get your brain churning. As JJ and Alex ask, Would You Rather?
Welcome back. Time for a little Would You Rather fun. Sam, let me throw this your way. Would you rather have tickets to this year's Women's Final Four or the Men's Final Four?
That's a great question. Look, we talked about it at the top of the show. These Men's Final Four games, probably not going to be super competitive.
No.
There's two dominant teams against two teams that have had great tournament runs. I don't expect it to be anything too thrilling. I mean, it's still the Final Four. It's still a spectacle. It's still a show. But what the women's game has brought to the sports fans in our country this year has just been unmatched. And to see in person Caitlin Clark play basketball would be pretty outstanding. To see her go head-to-head with another great women's college basketball player in Paige Beckers. To see an undefeated dominant team like South Carolina out there. I mean, that's where it's at, and we even talked about it yesterday. The ticket prices for the Final Four for the women are more than the men's, too.
The people have spoken based on supply and demand. $2,300
wow.
for a ticket to the women's Final Four. Just a little over $1,000
wow.
for the men.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, the arena holds about 20,000 for the women. The men are playing in a football stadium, right, that holds about 60,000. So there is more supply,
correct,
you could say, for the men. But at the same time, those ticket prices have never been seen before in college basketball, whether it's men's, women's, venue, doesn't matter. And you're right. It's just a reflection of what the people want. The people want to be there. They want to say they witnessed one of the greatest basketball players, not just women's basketball, one of the greatest basketball players to play the college game. They want to say they witnessed her on the court doing her thing. She's got great handles. She's got a great shot. She does the logo three. That's the name of the game nowadays,
yeah,
right? She does it all.
She is the best college basketball player in the country as far as interest and excitement. The biggest star, men or women right now, and I don't think you can argue it. All you got to do is turn on your TV and look at the commercials. Who's in them? She is.
Yep.
There you go. Let's go out to Tom Curl down the road at the warehouse. Our good friends at the warehouse. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
What boom deals do you got for us?
Well, it's madness time.
Uh-oh.
And we're setting up here for the biggest 4-day sale that we've ever had. And I'm going to do some stuff that we've never done before to make it worthwhile to join in with the madness. I have a dining room set that is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. It's a table, a solid hardwood table. It's one of the better manufacturers for dining. It's got two storage drawers on each end, so place for napkins, silverware, whatever you need to do. The table by itself is $1,299, and the chairs are $249 each. We bought a warehouse moving sale, the entire inventory of everything they had on this table and chairs. And I can sell you the table with chairs. Remember, $1,299 and $249 for each chair. I can sell you table with four chairs for $299.
Wow.
That's insane. I can do 6 chairs for $3.99 and 8 chairs for $4.99. This is the perfect opportunity to replace that beat-up old nasty kitchen table, or if you have a dining area, to put a nice dining room set for your family, for yourself, for your significant other, whoever you are planning to feed for the Final Four, come down and take care of it.
That's a boom deal. You combine that with the mattress deals you had earlier in the hour. You got to get down to the Warehouse, located at 1825 South, 300 West, in Salt Lake City. They're open now. You open till 8 p.m.?
We are open till 8 p.m., and we will take great care of you. And if you need finance, if you're waiting for your tax return, This is the perfect time to come on down. If your credit's beat up, no problem. All you need is a job and a checking account. I'll get you 100 days, same as cash, no interest for 100 days. If you have good credit, I can get you a 1 year with no interest, so you can save your cash.
If you're looking for a new mattress or you need those table and chairs, a perfect time to do it, Tom.
We're going to bust out some more mattresses next break. We'll make it worth your while. Come and give us a look before you buy.
Boom. Can't wait, Tom. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Check out the Warehouse.
Thanks, JJ.
You got it. 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Final Four talk when we come back. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.